Ocean FM's Agri Week with John Lynch.
Hello and welcome along to this week's edition of Agri Week. Hopefully we find you in good form, and coming up on the programme we are going to be talking to the MEP Luke Ming-Flanagan on the very latest negotiations on CAP. Now, the Midlands North West MEP claims he is the only Irish politician directly involved in these talks, so it'll be interesting to get his view on how those negotiations are going. We'll also hear about the dumping of the carcasses of dead sheep in Donegal. That and other dumping incidents over the weekend has led to a strong reaction locally. We'll gauge some of that a little bit later on in the programme, and indeed we'll also hear the latest Dáil discussions on how farmers impacted by the landslide on Shass Mountain will be receiving farm payments in the year of 2021. All that and more on the way. Hopefully we can have the pleasure of your company.
Ocean FM's Agri Week with John Lynch.
Now let's get underway this week with the situation regarding the CAP negotiations that are going on in Europe. And to say that there's extensive coverage in the media would be somewhat of an understatement. By times there seems to be conflicting information, depending on who you listen to, read, or indeed watch. Well, to try and clear up some of the picture, we earlier spoke to the Midlands North West MEP, Luke Ming-Flanagan.
Well, as the only Irish politician that's actually present at these negotiations, the first thing I'd have to say is that absolutely nothing has been decided yet. But the figures that were on the Farmers' Journal, which came from the Department of Agriculture, are misleading to say the least, because they're not comparing like with like. First of all, they show figures that contain the money that came for greening, along with the basic income support. But then at the end of this term, they show what money farmers will have, not including what would be the new version of greening, which is eco-schemes. So they're not comparing like with like. And their claims that many farmers will lose are actually incorrect. More farmers will gain than those that will lose, because under the new proposals for the eco-schemes, unlike with greening, every farmer will get the same amount per hectare. At the moment, that is not the case. Those on bigger payments were getting more money for greening than those people on smaller payments. So let's be clear on this. As the current proposals stand, actually, smaller farmers on less payments will actually gain more. But there is one massive omission from all of this discussion and from these articles, because they're discussing what's going on in negotiations at the moment. And it baffles me why they've left out one particular part, which is the debate on the redistributive payments in the regulation. That doesn't get mentioned at all. And at the moment, that discussion is that member states can pay at least 65% of a top-up on the single farm payment for the first 20 or so hectares. And if that goes through, and remember this is a minimum, that means that people will be able to get a 65% top-up on their payments. We are pushing actually for 100%, and it would be allowed under the current proposal. So far from losing money, what would actually happen at the end of this cap is we would see people on payments of €320 per hectare. Now, if that isn't an increase from their current situation of €160 per hectare, well, then I don't understand what the department are talking about, because what they're saying is misleading at the best, and to be quite honest, it's totally dishonest what they're doing. And the department are ultimately the ones then who will be pushing together the CAP strategic plan. It's very, very hard and very worrying to listen to the department come out with something like this, when ultimately they're the ones that will be putting together the plan to send to Europe. I mean, the least we would expect is for them to be honest about it. And in this case, I can't say they are being.
All right, let's look at it maybe from the perspective of farmers in the West and Northwest. And you are very familiar with this particular territory that we are in. There's an awful lot of small, marginal farmers who will be operating in relatively poor land, maybe on mountainous commonage land as well. So what you're basically saying here, for a lot of these small farmers, they could actually be benefiting.
If the proposals to, at the moment, the position is that the council are willing to offer 85% convergence. The parliament position was that they get 100% convergence. In other words, at the end of this cap, everyone gets the same payments per hectare. If that happens, it will mean much, much more money for farmers on marginal land, more money for farmers in Sligo, Mayo and Donegal and in Leitrim. And even in a county like Roscommon, even though overall the county wouldn't gain financially, the number of farmers on small payments that would rise would be a benefit all around. So with what's being proposed at the moment by the Parliament, it would mean more money for counties like Sligo, more money for farmers on marginal and difficult land to farm. That is the way the current proposal is going. Unfortunately, we see at the European Council of Ministers level that our Minister for Agriculture is fighting against this, which is bizarre to me, given that his own county will gain massively under 100% convergence. Why he would be pushing for less money for those farmers, well, that's a question he's going to have to answer at the end of this process.
All right. Talk to me a little bit from a farmer's perspective again, Luke, if you will. There's a lot of fear out here in relation to the way the reports are being carried here. And one of the big concerns that we are hearing here on the AgriWeek programme week after week is around peat management and how that is going to impact farmers. And they seem to be scared stiff about the various directives and suggestions that's coming out of Europe. Can you throw any light on that?
Well, look, this is actually the most important issue, because the other stuff I've been talking about is what farmers would get if they were eligible under a better system. But at the moment, there is a threat to any payment at all coming to farmers on peatlands and wetland areas. And the wording that the European Council is pushing would give member states the power to set standards so high in these areas that farmers wouldn't be able to satisfy it, and as a result would become ineligible for a payment and then get nothing. So talking about increased payments, etc., we have to nail this one first. And we have proposed a wording for this GAIAC which would contain a footnote, an addition to the GAIAC, which would guarantee the agricultural area of these lands. Now, at the moment, that's up in the air, but that's the proposed wording that we have pushed. And after the trialogues which took place last week, we got political agreement from the Parliament on this, and we appeared to have a political agreement from the European Council on it. We have another meeting on Tuesday where hopefully we'll find out for definite. But there's one thing for sure, how they go on the rules for farming on peatlands and wetlands is vital for the west of Ireland, because whatever about a fair payment system, and that's what we're fighting for, there's actually something even worse, a payment system that doesn't give people anything on those lands. So fundamentally, that is the most important thing in negotiations at the moment. I was discussing it this morning, I was discussing it yesterday, and on Monday and on Tuesday, I'll be dealing with it again, because ultimately, it's the most important thing. It's the foundation. It's a bit like talking about what you're going to decorate your house with while your house is on fire. First thing you've got to do is put out the fire, and that's what we're trying to do at the moment on conditionality when it comes to wetlands and peatlands.
All right, it's a situation that farmers will be keeping a very close eye on, there's little doubt about that. If I can move maybe to one more European-related agricultural matter, and again, we hear a lot of concern about the prices for lamb, about the prices for beef that farmers are currently getting. And we've had all the discussions about a food regulator or a food ombudsman coming in to try and regulate the system here. But again, from when it comes to exports of Irish beef, the one big fear that a lot of the beef farmers in this country will have when it comes to exporting their products is how flooded the market is going to be in Europe. And there's still ongoing concerns in relation to the Mercosur deal. Any latest developments on that?
Well, the latest developments are is that we have, it's one of the few things you could get everyone to agree with, that the Agriculture and Rural Affairs Committee in the European Parliament, that they oppose this. But the Commission are still pushing ahead with it. And what they have provisionally agreed is to bring in another 99,000 tonnes of beef from the Mercosur countries. And you will be told by the Commission that this is only a drop in the ocean. But when you look at the type of cuts that they could end up exporting, it actually adds up to an awful lot more than if you just look at it in basic tonnages. But what you don't hear is there are currently hundreds of thousands of tons of beef already coming in from Mercosur countries. And when the negotiations were going on Brexit, this is a point that I made at the Agriculture Committee, that given that one of our most important and our biggest markets is potentially going to be outside our sphere of control, that what we should be looking at doing, given that there's an emergency, is not only should we not be signing off on Mercosur to bring in another 99,000 tonnes of beef, we should also be pushing back on the amount of beef that is currently coming in. And that is both for economic reasons for the farmers here in Ireland, it's for environmental reasons for the planet. Because to me, it doesn't make any sense for the European Union to push environmentally friendly farming on one hand, and then on the other hand, facilitate the importing of beef that has actually come from the destruction of the rainforests. Like, we had an incentive that came from Europe called the BEAM scheme to get Irish farmers to reduce the amount of stock that they have and in effect reduce the amount of beef that we produced. And at the time I questioned whether this was a fair thing to be doing, that rather than incentivizing us to get out of beef, to deal with the fact that Brexit was coming and that we wouldn't have as great of a market, what I have been suggesting, and I keep saying it, is rather than asking us to cut back, what we need to do is cut back what we are bringing in from Mercosur countries and then free up more space in the European Union market for our beef that now potentially needs a new home to go to.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, number one in the Northwest for farming matters.
Now, next, let's turn our attentions to the situation in relation to the dumping of carcasses of sheep and indeed other rubbish in Donegal over the course of the weekend. And indeed, a Donegal councillor is calling for a full investigation to be conducted north and south of the border into these two particular incidents. The sheep incidents was where the carcass of 19 dead sheep were found by anglers in the Termon River, while a substantial amount of rubbish was also dumped on the Mervyn Road in Lahey over the weekend. Michael McMahon is a Donegal Municipal District Councillor. He says some of the rubbish that was dumped in Lahey originated in Chobham County Galway. The Sinn Féin councillor is calling for a full investigation with cross-border cooperation needed to establish the identity of those responsible.
And I want to condemn this outright. This is totally unacceptable. Imagine 19 carcasses of sheep thrown into a river in Pettigo. The mentality of the people that would do that is totally unbelievable. I can't imagine, you know, why people want to do this. This is criminal. The environment section, both north and south here, will have to do something really, really about this, because people living in the Pettigo area don't deserve this. Nobody in this country deserves this. This is a disgrace where people are depending on drinking water, and we find that this situation upon them. What are we really coming to, and what's happening in this country? I also was called out to Lahey last night to the Mervyn Road, and if there's one bottle or one tin, there's thousands. It looks like a trailer load of stuff that was dumped in there. Now, we searched through it. A lot of bags seem to be coming, would you believe it, from Tuam in County Galway. Now, it'll take like a full day to get rid of this rubbish in Lahey. Legislation and councils are being, you know, trying to do something about this, but it's not going far enough. There's dumping on the roads. There's dumping at litter bins. There's dumping at bottle banks. Central government will need to, you know, get their act together here and do something about this, because it's becoming a daily job for council workers, for tidy towns, for community groups to keep their areas clean. But I cannot fathom how anybody in their right mind or people would throw sheep into a river that is also very important for tourism and fishing, and also the people that have to live there and have to drink that water there.
There's huge concern here. Not alone is it a very popular angling location, the Termon River, but it also supplies water to the local community. So there's health risks there as well.
Well there's a serious health risk there to people who have depend on the river for drinking water. And the people, you know, that would do that have no regard for anybody. They've no regard for themselves. They have no regard for the community. And certainly to dump a dead sheep or whatever the case was, how they got into it, they have no regard on the animals. This has to be stamped out immediately. There has to be proper, strong legislation. This has to be stopped.
And indeed, this particular story was also dominating the airwaves on North West Today earlier this week. Niall Delaney spoke to a local Donegal IFA representative, Adrian Gallagher.
Well, I mean, this is totally wrong. I'm really shocked to hear now that this was a farmer, and in particular, it was one particular farmer who's lost this large number of sheep. Has carried out this act. I think right now, I think I'd like to let the local authorities investigate it and local Gardaí and get them involved and see what actually happened here and get down to the root cause. I know it's totally wrong. This is not the place for any carcasses to be left or to be disposed of. We do have a service out there for animal collection. There's even one based in Pettigo. So there's no reason for any farmer, be it local or not local, to carry out this act.
Well, that's the important point here, that there are services out there for any farmer in this predicament. You can help, and you always could help in that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean there is a Donegal animal, Fallon Animal Service, one based in Pettigo, so there's no reason why it hasn't been exercised. And there is a cost involved for a sheep to be collected. Dead lambs are free, so there's no reason why farmers can't drop off or get dead lambs collected. I mean, I know there's lambing pairs probably finished now at this stage, and every farmer will have loss in young lambs and newborn lambs.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, where farmers across the Northwest have their say.
Now, finally for this week, I want to return to the long-running issue that we have covered extensively here on Agri Week over the course of almost the last year now, and that's the landslide on Shass Mountain. The issue was raised in the Dáil last week by Sligo Leitrim Independent TD Marion Harkin. In order for farmers to apply for basic payments for lands, they had to declare that the land was in good agricultural condition. Now, that would be difficult to do with approximately 170,000 tonnes of peat being deposited on the land as a result of that landslide. So is there any options open to farmers to get payments with the situation that currently exists? Could they apply under a force majeure? That would be an exceptional situation where it would be for completely unseen and out of the control of the farmer. Well, Marion Harkin requested the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue, the Donegal TD, on the matter during the weekend to see if he would allow farmers to receive payment. And we'll take a listen now to those exchanges.
Minister, you'll be aware of the Shass Mountain landslide at Drumcairn. About 55 hectares of land affected, about 170,000 tonnes of peat on the land, a very extensive landslide. Now, subsequent to the landslide, which is 10 and a half months ago, Minister Noonan organised a meeting, and the then Minister for Agriculture, Minister Cowan, came to Drumcairn, and he made a commitment that all farm payments on the land, BPS, ANC, etc., would be paid last year. And indeed, they were. Subsequently, Minister Noonan has held a number of meetings of the stakeholder group. A lot of positive work has happened through the auspices of Leitrim County Council, Department of Transport, etc. However, the one department that has not engaged with the people on the ground, with the farmers, is the Department of Agriculture. Minister, you are well aware that right now farmers are putting in their applications for BPS. When they do that, they tick various boxes. And one of the commitments they make is that their land is in good agricultural and environmental condition. How are they supposed to do that when there's several feet of peat on their land? You can't walk on it, let alone put out an animal. What's going to happen? Will these payments be paid under force majeure?
I'm conscious, Concord, of the massive challenges faced by farmers in the immediate aftermath of the landslide, and following the event, my predecessor immediately reassured farmers that farm payments in 2020 would not be affected. The department has assessed and mapped using satellite and GPS ground data the land parcels apparently affected, together with the land use. This exercise included an estimate of the area affected. This assessment and mapping exercise indicates that approximately 20 herd owners, for the purpose of BPS and GLAS participants, and 8 forestry owners were adversely impacted by the landslide. With regard to BPS, GLAS, forestry and forestry participants in the 2020, force majeure applied to all 2020 participants in accordance with the governing EU regulations. Any ex gratia payment, Deputy, will require the sanction of the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, as the Department of Agriculture doesn't have a contingency fund to pay for land damage or land remediation in circumstances such as this. With regard to farm payments, as you're aware, my department administers the various schemes on behalf of the European Union, and both the department and scheme participants are bound by the governing rules in the relevant EU regulations. Force majeure is a recognised feature in the EU regulations, and this matter will be dealt with in line with the regulations. And I am glad to be able to say that officials of my department are contacting affected landowners or their agents to advise that force majeure will apply in respect of the 2021 scheme year.
And that's where we must take our leave of you on this week's edition of AgriWeek. Thanks as always for listening. We'll be back again next week, and there's a very interesting interview on the programme next week where we'll be discussing the whole situation with the biodiversity scheme and the rewilding of many farms to meet Ireland's quota on the on the amount of land that's needed for biodiversity going forward in the future. Don't forget, you can get a podcast of this week's show and previous shows on wherever you get your podcasts from. Just search Ocean FM and AgriWeek. And from John Lynch and all of us here, bye bye for now.